I mean, we have a mom. Whether you're a Christian or Jewish or Muslim or atheist or male or female or whatever race you are, the fact is we all came into this life via a mom. Now, we have some really good moms in this room. You know, maybe, and I don't know all of your stories, but maybe, you know, you and your mom didn't have the best relationship. Unfortunately, that happens at times. But we can't get around the fact that we all came into this world, into this life via a mom. Even Jesus came into this life via a mom. I wanted to start this morning before we get into the scripture. I pulled some funny memes. I thought they were pretty funny and appropriate. Some of these, Val, I'm going to look right at you. Some of these funny memes. First one's just for parents in general. Then we're going to get specific to the moms. It says, "Welcome to being a parent of a teenager. Prepare for a large amount of eye-rolling, emotional outbursts, and thoughts of running away." And that's just the parents. "Mom saying to her child, I often worry about the safety of my children, especially the one that's rolling their eyes and talking back right now. My kids call it yelling when I raise my voice. I call it motivational speaking for the selective listener." Now, women, that could apply to your husbands as well. My wife looked right at me when I read that one to her. The mom, "My kids are the reason I wake up each morning, the reason I breathe, and why my hair is falling out, my house is a mess, and I'm crazy." You said 2 out of 3. All right, the mom, the first child eats dirt, mom calls a doctor. Second child eats dirt, mom cleans out their mouth. The third child eats dirt, mom wonders if she really needs to feed him lunch. Charlie's the youngest. The quickest way for a mother to get her children's attention, sit down and look comfortable. My wife laughed really hard at that one too. Sit down and look comfortable. And I really want to apologize in advance for this last one, but I couldn't help it and I threw it in. You know you're a mom when someone says they have a stomach ache and you ask if they pooped today. That may also apply to your husbands. Let's get to the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Starting in verse 3. Do we need a second? Do you need a moment? Let's get it out. That's my mom too.
I'm sorry. That's just so real.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. She's not only a mom, she's a grandmother. How many grandkids?
15.
Ooh. 15 grandkids. Well, the scripture today is going to apply to you too. Verse 3, "I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." Those words were written by the Apostle Paul. Let's give you a little context under this letter. It's one of the pastoral epistles. It was written to a young man who was the pastor of the church in Ephesus, Timothy. And it was actually, history scholars think that one of the last letters that Paul ever wrote. He was in prison in Rome awaiting his execution when he wrote these words to encourage this young man in the ministry. And one of the first things he points out in this epistle, in this letter to this young pastor, to really encourage him in the faith, is he gives recognition to two women in his life that played, I think he believes, a prominent role in cultivating and developing this young man's faith, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. Now, I have to admit, I've read this letter many times. Every time, given the context when it was written some 2,000 years ago, give or take, these were women living in the Middle East, Jewish women, that were converts to Christianity. But when I see these names, Lois and Eunice, I can't help but think of two women in blue polka dot dresses and aprons on a farm somewhere. Lois and Eunice. So maybe that's the image you're going to have of these two women as we go on this morning. Before we really get into this, I want to talk about what is beautiful. What is beautiful? So when we think of something beautiful, what is it that what comes to mind? And you can, this will be the interactive part. What comes to mind when you think of something that's beautiful? Your wife. What? A smiling child. What else?
My mom.
Your mom. Are you saying that because she's sitting here on this Mother's Day?
No, she's beautiful.
She is beautiful. She is beautiful. A clean car. With gas in it, right? And that's your mom's car because you've cleaned it out, filled it up with gas, right?
No.
Okay, I'm going to have to talk to Christy after church. Flowers. Nature flowers, God's creation. Yeah. I actually did just to see what came up, I did an internet search this week, and I just typed in the words, what does the world say is beautiful? And I didn't say who. Does the world say is beautiful? I intentionally use the word, what does the world say is beautiful? And the first maybe 10 things that came up were Hollywood actresses. And then it was, one of them was, I didn't even click on any of the links. I just wanted to see what came up in the search. And one of them was an article, is this little girl the most beautiful girl in the world? Hey, buddy, come on in. Oh, children's church, deacon, you want to preach? Come on, Deacon. High five, buddy. No, $5. I need $5. Okay. You don't have $5?
I know.
Okay. Well, as soon as you get $5, I need to borrow it. That's all right. Emma. Aislinn. Curtis, you need to go? Yeah, she's taking the cutest ones. See how we do? You just were recorded. Okay, we were talking about things that are beautiful. Beautiful children, aren't they, all three of them? See, the world tends to tell us, we see it on TV, we see it in billboards, we see it in the media, the movies we watch, the things that we're absorbing, that beauty is what? It's physical. It's external. Those are the things that the world, the gospel of the world is telling us are beautiful. And that's not at all what God and His Word says is beautiful.
What about God's love?
Huh? God's love is beautiful. That's right. And I think that Timothy experienced the love of Christ via God through his mother and his grandmother. Absolutely. But I experienced it this week a little bit. I don't know that I've met a woman, a girl, a female, let's just call it female, that has ever truly thought that they were beautiful. I haven't. And Friday night I went to dinner. This is how my wife and I, we celebrated our 18th wedding anniversary this week, by going to dinner. Thank you. She is a patient woman. She's put up with me for a long time. We celebrated our 18th wedding anniversary by taking two 14-year-old girls to dinner with us. That's parents. We've been married a long time. But we're eating dinner. We actually had a really good time. We had a good time. And we're eating, and my daughter, Abby, and her friend, Elizabeth, were there, and they wanted their picture taken. So I take my daughter's camera, and I take their picture, and they're looking at it. Now, when I tell you this, Elizabeth is beautiful. All three girls there were beautiful. You don't know Elizabeth. You've never met her. But she is gorgeous. 14-year-old little girl, right? And the first thing out of her mouth is, oh, I'm so ugly. That's what the world is teaching our females. Guys, too, for that matter, but it seems for whatever reason women are more consumed with it, more worried about what the world says they look like and what is beautiful. Let me tell you, one of the most beautiful, I love my wife. I mean, if you know me at all, you know how much I love my wife. I'm sorry, ladies, some beautiful women in this room. My wife is the most gorgeous girl on the face of the earth. And I thought that from the moment I saw her when I was a little boy. And but one of the most beautiful moments that I've ever had in marriage with my wife would be a moment, if she was here, she would tell you that she looked hideous. And it was one of the moments when she was in the hospital giving birth to our children. No makeup, hair in disarray, a long labor, especially with Abby. It went on for nearly 2 days before Abby finally was delivered. But listen, that was not one of her, as she would tell you, better, most beautiful moments. But I tell you, there was nothing more beautiful to me in that moment than experiencing the birth of my children with my bride. It was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. But what does the Lord say is beautiful? 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "The Lord does not look at the things that people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." The Lord looks at the heart. And I believe that Lois and Eunice, the two farm ladies with their aprons on, I believe they were beautiful to the Lord. I believe that they had hearts. And what we can glean from Scripture is that these two women must have had a heart for the Lord. They must have, because they passed it to their son. And Paul's recognizing it in that letter. See, they were given a mantle of responsibility in motherhood that they must have taken very seriously. Do I need to call your mom?
I'm here.
There's plenty of moms in here. They were given the mantle of responsibility in motherhood that they must have taken very seriously. And I believe that they did a beautiful job of fulfilling that mantle of responsibility. And see, moms have a lot of responsibility. Who can attest to that? Who sometimes, let's just be honest, feel overwhelmed with the responsibility and the things they have. And that made me think, what is the greatest responsibility of a mother? Is it to take care of the family? Is it to make sure the kids get up in the morning and have breakfast and are off to school? Let me tell you, with the schedule I've worked for probably the last 16, 17, 18 years, I very, very rarely have I been home to see my kids get up and off to school. And let me tell you, I believe that it's probably at times chaos in our house. Especially my youngest son, who I love dearly, who maybe can't find his shoes, or my daughter, who doesn't, he's raising both hands. That's one free shoe. And just the stress of getting a family out the door, is that her greatest responsibility? Is it to cook and clean? Guys, in the back, no. The answer is no. Is it to work a 40-hour-a-week job while also doing all the other stuff that we just named? Is that her greatest responsibility? The greatest responsibility of a mom is the same as that of a dad or anyone else. It's to love God with all your heart and all your soul, all your strength and all your mind. Bob read it in Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning. That's the greatest responsibility. It's to love God and to love others. And if you're a parent and you're a mom, as a continuation of that, to pass that those traits along to your children. That's our greatest calling in this life as a parent. And mothers do a really, many of them, and I know many in this room, do a really great job of that. You're constantly multitasking, right? Constantly. I'll give you a story. She's not here to defend herself. My wife will multitask you to death. I mean, we have to with our busy lives. One time there's a story I wanted to share. We're actually, and for you young drivers, don't do this at all, like just as a disclaimer. For you adults, you've probably have been in a very similar situation. My wife and I, speaking of multitasking, we're driving. We're actually on Loop 288 in Denton many years ago. And I'm driving, and my wife's reading a book. Now, you could tell this was quite some time ago because she wasn't reading on a device. It was an actual physical book that maybe you still see in museums. And so she's reading a book, and I'm wearing a jacket, and I'm really hot, and I want to take my jacket off while driving down the road. Disclaimer, don't use, okay? Bree's looking a little bit suspicious. Keith, Christy? All right, may need to have a conversation. Don't do this. So I asked my wife, who's reading a book, if she could hold the steering wheel for a minute while I remove my jacket while we're driving down the road. And this is what she does. She never looks up from her book. And I'm tangled in my jacket trying to get it off, and we're going who knows how fast down the road, and she never even looks up. That's just that almost encapsulates, I think, motherhood. Just the at times of busyness, and you know, kids will say, "Mom, just can you hold this for a second?" And it's tough. It is. Y'all have a difficult job. I mean, fathers too, but let's face it, moms are better than dads. You know, I said it. It's out there. It's on tape. Sorry if that offended you, and I'm not just saying that because my mom's here. And y'all, tell Pam I said that later, if you would. Moms have a tough job. They do. They have a tough job. No doubt that Lois and Eunice had a very difficult job too, made all the more difficult because if you notice in verse 5, Paul says, "As I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, that I clearly see in you now." Now, Paul makes no mention of who? Dad. Dad's nowhere to be found in this letter. Now, does that mean that Dad wasn't around? If we go to Acts chapter 16, we get a little bit more insight onto this. And maybe the difficulty that these women faced rearing this young man to be faithful, but also to love the Lord. Acts chapter 16, Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, that's Eunice, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were there in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. The only mention we have in Scripture of Timothy's dad was that he was Greek. Now, what that meant was is that his mom was Jewish, and she married interracially this Greek man who served, presumably because he was labeled as a Greek, Greek gods. He didn't serve Yahweh, God the Father, the same God that Lois and Eunice served. I can't imagine, I can only speculate, maybe the tension that was in the home as the father wasn't raising their son to pray to the God of Israel, teaching him the Holy Scriptures. It was left to the mom and to the grandmother. But thankfully, Eunice had a wonderful example in her mom, in Lois. And many times, unfortunately, we see it today. It's the same sentiment that carries to modern day, to the modern church. So many women have the responsibility alone of raising their children to walk with the Lord. Now, whether they're single mom, which there's some here that in this church that do it, and I'll tell you, do a pretty dang good job of it, being a single mom and raising their kids to love the Lord and having them in church and around other believers. But many times, even today, there's fathers that are in the home that are failing, that aren't doing the job as spiritual leaders of the homes that God's called them to, and it's left to the mothers. And I don't know what issues this would have called for Eunice and unnamed Greek father of Timothy, but I just can't help believe that they weren't there. But Timothy overcame those hurdles in his life by parents that had two different, very vastly different belief systems, and his heart and his faith was given to God. And the church was blessed by it. This young man who was a pastor in Ephesus. How awesome is that? What a testament to these women. Now, I got to believe that the women, you see, Lois probably was one of the very earliest converts, bringing along her daughter and her grandson into the faith. Now, I wonder what her experiences were. Did she see Jesus perform any of these miracles? Was she encouraged by the apostles? Just the persecution that they faced, but the joy that they exuded when they talked about Jesus. What were her experiences? Were they there in Lystra? Because Lystra was the place where Paul was preaching the gospel message, had a crowd come against him, they stoned him, drug his lifeless body into the street outside of town. What did he do? He got up, dusted himself off, and went right back into town. I wonder if they were there and witnessed that. I wonder what effect it had on Timothy's life. They had a big, big job to do. And I believe that the job that they did was absolutely beautiful to God. It was beautiful to God. Beautiful work. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." That's I love the book of Proverbs. I've heard it referred to as God's Twitter account. You have these really great sayings. Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he was old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's not to say that there's not some stops or some rerouting along the way. But train your children up from an early age, like it said in Deuteronomy 6. As you sit and eat every day, find those teachable moments, whether you have time in your busy schedule multitasking to sit down daily and do a Bible study, look for those moments that are teachable. To let your kids know as life just happens and circumstances come up, to point them to what God's Word says. And I believe that's what Lois and Eunice did. And I believe it was beautiful to God. Mothers also tend to be encouragers. No doubt Lois and Eunice encouraged Timothy in his faith to pursue God, encouraged him. I know for me personally, my mom's sitting here, and even if she wasn't, I would still tell you the story that as a child growing up, things weren't always easy for us. But the one thing I always knew is my mom loved me. She always encouraged me. She always encouraged me. She did. There was a famous painter, a very famous painter, who spoke of the encouragement that his mother gave him. He said, "My mother said to me, if you're a soldier, you'll become a general. If you're a monk, you'll become the Pope. Instead, I was a painter, and I became Picasso." What a beautiful, beautiful recognition of the encouragement that his mom was. So how are we encouraging the next generation, moms and dads, or people that don't have kids yet? How are we encouraging the next generation? What is it we're teaching them? Are we teaching them about what's truly beautiful? Are we teaching them about God the Father? See, don't hide your light at home. Our families are fertile fields of planting the gospel seeds. And we need to plant those seeds daily because the world's planting something else entirely different. Do your children see your faith? Do they see the love of Christ? Do they see joy, helpfulness, service? Are they getting these things on a daily and weekly basis? Are they being fed the good accounts of Scripture? Do they see a woman who was given one of the greatest gifts God ever bestowed on humankind, the gift of motherhood? Do they see you praying for them every day? Do they see you modeling for them the pursuit of God and His Word? Are you daily, regularly reading Scripture? Do they come into the living room, or do they see you on the TV? No condemnation. I'm just asking honest questions. Are you modeling that for your children? James 2:18 says, "But some will say you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." It's one thing to just give it lip service. It's another thing entirely to model it for your children. And that's what's beautiful. That's the most beautiful thing you could do for your family, for the next generation, is to be that model of Christ's love and faithfulness for your child. And no doubt the two moms in Timothy's life did that. And no doubt there was a beautiful harvest in the life of this young man. Who knows how many countless lives this young man touched. And it started at the home from his childhood with his mother and his grandmother. What a great opportunity we have to bless the next generation. If we stay in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "But as for you," Paul still writing to Timothy, "continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from who you learned it." And who did he learn it? From his mother and his grandmother. He says, because in verse 15 it says, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." From childhood you are acquainted with the Scripture. His mother and his grandmother modeled it for him, day in and day out. And I got a feeling that they didn't slack on the job, even though it was hard. Even though there may have been personal obstacles with the husband who believed, had a completely different faith system. Wow. And they overcame. And Timothy's faith was commended for that, and so were these women. And then we see in verse 16, one of the all-time great scriptures about the importance of Scripture. It says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God." Some translations say God breathed. "And profitable for what? For teaching." Teaching our children, the next generation, "for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness." Why? Verse 17, "that the man of God," or I would say woman of God, mother of God, father of God, may be complete, equipped for every good work. And no doubt Timothy was being equipped from childhood, from birth. Wow. And I tell you what, there are some beautiful women in this church and in this congregation doing some beautiful things in your family. No doubt about it. I can see it. Okay? And I would encourage you this morning to continue doing the beautiful work that God's called you to do. And then we'll see a beautiful harvest from that in the next generation. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, first of all, for my mother, the mothers in my life, really personally, my mom and my wife, the influence they have in my life, the encouragement. Lord, I'm blessed. And I'm thankful for all the mothers sitting here this morning that are hearing these words, Father. And for the future moms, I don't want to discount that, Lord. Those that one day will carry that mantle of responsibility and motherhood, Father, that now, even now, you begin preparing them for that job and the great responsibility that comes with it. Lord, what is a joy it is to have our moms. I'm thankful that I have mine, and I'm thankful that I have sisters in Christ that are sitting here that are doing a tireless job of rearing, of training up the next generation, Father. And I pray that they continue to do that, that you bless them in that and you strengthen them in that, Father, because this world is throwing all kinds of stuff at them, as you know. It's hard. And I just want that special, this special blessing of encouragement for the ladies here, Father. Just that peace, those moments to just relax and reflect on you, that you're not lost in the chaos of our lives, that your love is reflected, your goodness, your joy, Father, and that they are women of faith, that they are committed for their faith, and that one day when they meet you face to face, you will look at them, your sweet daughter in Christ, and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Not just them, but the generations that follow, Lord. What a blessing, Lord. And what an honor it is to serve a loving God. Father, we thank you. We love you. And we thank you for our moms. In your name we pray. Amen.